I have one. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by what? By faith. You think of access. Sometimes I think of like an attic access, or sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes it's a basement access or a crawl space access. Brother Johnson had a crawl space access. And one of the houses we were in, you got down in the crawl space in the laundry room. There was a trap door, I guess you would call it, down into there. So access. So it says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that have no idea how to get to God, do they? I mean, they think their good works is going to get them to God, or their church membership, or giving money, or being a good citizen in the community. And they think somehow that's going to get them access, but they don't really know, do they? Because if you ask them, it's like, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. So they really don't know the door, do they? They don't know that Jesus is the door, that he's the way. Notice with me in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So I can recall when I was a boy, our family went to one of the family's houses to fellowship of the church, and they had an attic access up in the ceiling in the second story of their home. And so I was kind of hinting around like, it sure would be neat to go up there and some adventure. You know, I was thinking in my mom's parents, my grandpa and grandma Rector's house, there was a taller attic access, and they had lots of things. And, you know, grandpa and grandma's house, you know, they had a lot of, to a little boy, it seemed like a lot of treasures up there in the attic. So I was kind of hitting around to that family. It'd really be neat to go up in your attic, you know. And no, I don't even know if anything was up in their attic. People used to store a lot of things up in their attics, and not so much anymore. But in John 14, in verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad that one day someone told you how to have access to heaven? Amen. Praise the Lord that is Jesus. He is the door in John 10. So back in Romans 5 then, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That access makes me think of sometimes in the hospital, we went to extended care here, was that a couple weeks ago? And so they sent us in a different way than they used to, and then a nurse had to keep scanning her card, her pass, to get us in this place and that place. And I'm so thankful for the day someone told me that Jesus was the access to heaven. And then in verse 3, well, in finishing, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So if we go back there to verse 2, the last part of the verse says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Life is so much more exciting when we live for the glory of God than for our own glory, isn't it? When we try to live for our own glory, it's disappointments. You talk about birthdays. You know, if you're really looking forward to a birthday, I know Jared just had a birthday, Brother Randy's is coming, and you know, when you have a birthday and you're really excited about it and you're really thinking this is going to be a super special day, how often does that happen then? Many times not so. If you're really looking forward to that day, like this is really going to be a great day, my birthday, and then many times you can be greatly disappointed. But when we live for the Lord and his glory, life It's so exciting. Verse 1 there, or verse 2, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we're not rejoicing in hope for our glory, are we? We're rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. So even though we know that we can gain eternal rewards, crowns, that isn't our focus, is it? It's the glory of God. If you hold your place here, turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what?
Glory.
Glory and honor. If we focus on that in our lives, our lives will be so much more exciting. It's kind of like when you get to the age where you quit at Christmas time, where you quit just being excited about what people got you, but it changes over. You're excited about what you bought for others. And your excitement is not opening your own gifts. Your excitement is you can't wait until they open the gift that you got them. That's a wonderful change, isn't it? A wonderful change. When the glory changes, the focus. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And the more that we focus on fulfilling God's pleasure, the happier we are. It's just, the Bible talks about it's more blessed to give than to receive, and we find that out. It's so much more blessed to die to whatever desires we have and to focus on the needs of others. It's so much more fulfilling in life. So let's go back there to Romans 5 then. So verse 2, once again, Romans 5, 2. So we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Just think about when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. It was like her spirit was just, and her, as it were, her breath was just taken away at the grandeur of Solomon's attendants and servants. She talked about their ascent up into the temple. Can you just imagine how royal it was? The trumpets, those trumpets they were to make of one piece of silver. And just imagine the grandeur of that march. And it just, I mean, she was a queen herself, but what she saw happen there just, I mean, it was like she was just in awe. She could hardly believe it. And Queen of Sheba, and Jesus talks about her later on, she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So she came seeking God. She came seeking wisdom at the mouth of Solomon. And, you know, when she saw the glory that was there compared to her own glory, and she was very wealthy herself, she brought a great amount of gold to Solomon. She was very wealthy. But when she saw that glory, it was more than she ever dreamed. Can you imagine what it'll be like for us when we see the Lord and His glory? It will be so much better than we've ever dreamed. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, isn't that something? Just imagine what God has prepared. Well, we're given a glimpse of it. The next verse tells us, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we're given a little glimpse of what God has prepared in John chapter 14, if you'd notice that with me. In John 14, we're given some little, it's kind of like an adventure story. I always liked reading adventures. In John 14:1, we're given a glimpse here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what?
Many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who?
You.
For you. So it's one thing about mansions. So last evening, my wife and I went to make a visit of someone who visited here. And so I was looking online how to get to their house. And so I put it on the satellite view and kind of behind their house and back a little bit to the side, there is a huge house. Just, I mean, even from the satellite view, it looks huge. Like different angles on each end of the house. And it, I don't know how many square feet it is, but it's huge. But, you know, the Lord talks about here, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But last night, we weren't going to visit the mansion. We were going to visit a nice house, but not a mansion. And so as it reads here, you know, we could say, well, that's nice. There's many mansions in heaven that the Lord is preparing. But then when he says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Then we find out, me? A mansion? It's just, so God gives us a little glimpse here. Now, some of the newer translations say an apartment. Now, that's more than we deserve, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. So that's more than we deserve. But God didn't say that. He didn't say he's preparing an apartment for us. He said a mansion. Quite a difference there. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, you may have read or heard the name Elon Musk. He's the owner of the Tesla. Is it pronounced Tesla cars? Okay. So these electric cars, and he's also the owner of their SpaceX, and so he's not only in the cars, but in the rockets, and even our government now is using his rockets to send things up, because his are way more efficient than our own government's rockets. And so he's getting quite a name now of renown, but I think where I was going with that. Maybe it'll come to me. Well, one thing about getting old, huh? Yeah, it was something in regard to that. It's because the reason he got into rockets is because he doesn't see much hope for this Earth the way things are going, and so he really wants to inhabit Mars. That's what he wants to see. You know, technology move ahead where man can inhabit other planets. That's what got him going in this, and so he's changing it. Like a lot of billionaires, he's very liberal, but his eyes have been open to some things in recent years, and so he's moving the conservative direction now. And I pray for him that he gets saved. That's my number one prayer for Elon. But yeah, that's the thing. He wants to be able to go to Mars and establish a colony up there. But that's a pretty tall order, a pretty big task, isn't it, to get to Mars? And of course, we've sent things to Mars and checked it out in that regard, but they've never sent people to Mars. It's a long way, so that's a challenge. But when it comes to, you know, God saying, well, I prepared a mansion for you, And we could go to Revelation, more things about we can't imagine, like streets of gold, as we're transparent glass. I mean, a street that's always clean. It's hard to keep the windows clean around here. I'm looking at a back window right now that needs cleaning on the outside. But can you imagine the streets in heaven, like pure gold, like transparent glass, just as like a mirror. It'll be amazing. And so he's preparing that place for us. So if we go back to Romans chapter 5, I don't know if you like adventures, but I like adventures. And I asked some of the children this morning, how did you sleep in your new house? One said, awesome. One said, good. And can you imagine how it'll be when we get to heaven? Just awesome. Yeah, very good indeed. So we rejoice in the hope and hope of the glory of God. So it's all about his glory. But until we get there, we face trials here, don't we? Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Think of mansions, and then think of patience. Okay, where did you start out? Those of you who are married, what was your first home? My wife and I, it was a mobile home. I think it was 12 by 60. Okay? And started out in a mobile home park. Anyone else like to offer what you started out in when you were first married?
8 by 28, that included the bumper and the top.
8 by 28. Okay, so, and then forward a generation, so it was 12 by 60. So 8 by 28, 12 by 60, okay. Yeah, Brother Tim?
Yeah, we just started out in a one-bedroom annex apartment built onto the landlord's house that he rented out.
Okay, okay. All right. Yes?
12 by 60 mobile home.
Okay, same thing, 12 by 60 mobile home. Okay. Okay. All right. Was that up north? Okay.
Pickford.
Amen. Let's see. Where did you start, Barry? Okay. In a berm house. Okay. All right. All right. So it's interesting, isn't it? You know, sometimes I don't want to go the wrong direction here, but I just want to mention it. It's something how, you know, we start out with simple things and the Lord blesses eventually with more room and so on. But when I think about zoning ordinances, I think about, do we really love our neighbor as ourselves? You know, we think of zoning ordinances say, you know, well, you've got to build a house now, so many hundred square feet. And I think about young couples. You know, sometimes older people say, well, I can't understand why the age of marriage is going up. Well, part of it is because it's hard for a young man to afford what other men say he has to start out in. It's not easy today, so we need to have compassion upon others. But so anyway, when we start out with something small, then it builds in verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When we were in Bible school, you know, I was working part-time and trying to go to school full-time load. So I was working part-time, school full-time, and then so I did not earn enough money, really, to meet all of our needs. It was years of just prayer and asking God to help. And he did. He always did. But he did it in ways that maybe we wouldn't have realized. Like, people would pass through going to Florida and different places, and they would bring us these plastic pails of peanut butter. And so there wasn't too many blocks from our house. There was a day-old bread shop, and we could buy 5 loaves of bread for $1. 20 cents for a loaf of bread. And so we ate a lot of peanut butter, and people would bring like homemade jams and jellies to us. So we ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly in those days. We did not eat a lot of potato chips. You go to the store and with a grocery budget of maybe in the teens, and you're thinking, do I want to buy a, I don't know what potato chips were back then, but no. I'm not going to spend 2 precious dollars or whatever it was on a bag of potato chips. That doesn't go very far. But you know what it taught us? It taught us that God can supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I never had the money to pay the car insurance, but we never had to drive without insurance because God always brought it in miraculously. He brought it in. So verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And so, you know, like the children of Israel, every time they got thirsty or hungry, they were whining to God, you know, more than just whining. They were murmuring at God. And, you know, when we have to go through leaner times, and of course they're saying now, you know, well, they're expecting food to be hard to get. You know, there's this whole baby formula thing. I have no idea really how that started, nothing about it, other than I keep seeing headlines, you know, about a shortage of baby formula and that there's pallets of it sitting at, you know, the Mexico border for all the illegal immigrants. So, I'm getting that drift. But of course they're saying, you know, someone just, I think it was Pastor Jeremy was saying there's a lot of farmers down at Needmore Baptist Church, and that they said fertilizer is 50% higher this year. And I don't know what fertilizer costs have to do with COVID or supply chains. I have no idea where that fits in. But we can see where it's all headed, can't we? I mean, we know there's a one-world government coming, and people, well, you know, we're going to get dependent upon the government and certain things, and, you know, but we can have patience. We know that God can meet our needs. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Matthew 6:9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what?
Our daily bread.
I came to the church early this morning, and it seems like the birds in this area don't really realize how gloomy the news is about food. Do you know why I know that? They were singing. I came to church this morning and the birds were singing. And you know, they don't have barns. They don't have storehouses. I mean, they're not even like squirrels. Squirrels store up nuts. Birds don't store up seeds. It's just every day. And the Bible says, give us this day our, what?
Daily bread.
So, however the times get, they may get hard. I don't know. It might just be certain people are trying to scare us, and it might be partly true. Maybe hard times are coming in regard to food. I'm not sure. But you know what? We can trust God. Back in Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, what? Experience. How many of you, by experience, have learned that God will meet your needs? Yeah, by experience. How did we get that experience? Having to go through harder times. So we learn by experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we've gone through these tribulations, and it's produced in us patience. And so when we go through other hard times, now we look back on our experience that God keeps his word. And so now we have hope. We don't go around all glum, oh, what am I going to do? No. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So, in other words, if we follow this process about, okay, accepting tribulations, trusting God, seeing his hand at work, then the result is verse 5, we don't go around murmuring against God like the children of Israel. We go around with hope and realizing the love of God. There's such a drastic difference. We face hard times, and we know that God loves us. So we don't have to murmur and whine and get mad at him. We know he loves us. And so I pray that God would help us this week just to show that. You know, there are so many people talking gloom and doom, and as Christians, we don't have to get in that mode. God loves us. He promises to meet our needs. In closing, let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It's so wonderful to know the author and finisher of our faith. Psalm 37:25. Okay, why don't we say this one three times together, and we'll close with this. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37:25. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37:25. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37:25. What a wonderful promise. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, next service about 7-8 minutes, Lord willing.
Since if I had two 10-foot bars, that's enough.